You need to let the Lord light your candle. And when your spirit is lit, by God, you can break through these barriers. The spirit of faith, church, is more than a formula. It's not just a formula, okay? It's a fire in your spirit. It's a fire. It's a force that's on the inside of you. It's a fire in the spirit of man. And the revelation of the word of God will cause that fire to just blaze. I was telling Danny and Deb this morning that when I started studying early this morning and I read that, and I was fighting the good fight of faith this morning. When I just got up, I was trying to find something that didn't hurt. I was just didn't feel good. And so I read that scripture, and as soon as I read it, I had a breakthrough. I mean, my spirit lit up and I went, hey, wait a minute. I'm not taking this. And I mean, it just, and so I'm, and then I'm studying and studying, and then I run in there and start preaching to them, and then they're smiling and going, okay, yeah. And we're just all enjoying, you know, what God is doing. I was telling them some things I learned, but you know, when you get to be a junkie like I am, the littlest hit will set me off and I'm back good again. You know? The junkie of the word, just to clarify there. Yeah. So we need to understand that. Let God light your candle. Yeah. Don't try to run at these things when you're not totally fired up.
That's good.
Amen. So the word of God, you know, it'll actually burn in your heart, and it'll enable you to conquer these things that need to be conquered. But then that fire is supposed to move you from you just getting over stuff into and being in a comfort zone to greater possibilities and greater accomplishments.
Yeah.
We can actually move forward. You know, I'm just tired of the thing of maybe if I could just get a breakthrough and get healed, or I could just get a breakthrough and get through this thing. I'm tired of hearing people say that. I want to hear them say, I'm getting a breakthrough and the possibilities are happening. I'm getting a breakthrough and I'm going to accomplish this. I'm getting a breakthrough and I'm moving ahead.
Yeah.
Instead of, if the Lord would just help me. Well, He's helping us. He's lighting our candles. Amen. You know, some people will never obey God because they're afraid of the unknown. They're just not going to do it. The need for security, the need for comfort, it limits their ability to move in their lives. Abraham, on the other hand, left his country and went to a place where he didn't even know. You got to have some trust in God to do that. You live in a place your whole life and then God says, move here. You got to have some kind of faith to do that. And Abraham had that faith. And, you know, Hebrews said that by faith, Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after, listen to this, which he should after receive an inheritance. He received an inheritance when he just obeyed.
Yeah.
I think about Jesse Wallace. We were all having dinner together, and she was reminding us of the story of when she met Larry, and they weren't quite ready to, I think he was about to propose, but the Lord told her, you're going to move to Marble Falls. Well, her whole family lives in Tyler. And the people, they're like, are you sure? Are you sure? Why would you want to do that? I mean, are you sure? Yet when she moved, she received her inheritance. And there he is sitting there beside her. See, but she was willing to take a step with God and then receive what God had for her. And that's exactly what Abraham did. So faith is obeying God when there's an element of the unknown. Okay?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
There could be an element of the unknown when you're stepping out in faith. And then faith obeys even if you don't feel like it and you don't know all the answers. Mm-hmm. Not sure how this is all going to turn out, but I can take that step. I can get 10,000 feet and then we'll see about going on up. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. So once you get going, he's going to direct your path.
Right.
You just have to follow him to here. And then follow him to here, and then follow him to here, and then follow him to here, and get rid of the flat face, and keep getting let your candle glow brighter and brighter, and you're going to end up where you want to be.
Amen.
So, there's three kind of people in this world: pioneers, settlers, and museum keepers. Now, October 14th, 1947, a man named Chuck Yeager, most of you know the story, was the first man to fly 700 miles per hour and break the sound barrier. Some of you are old enough to remember that. The rest of you read it in your history book. So for months, the military is looking, trying to find someone who would actually do this, because they actually didn't have any faith that anyone would live. They just, they could, you know, they just didn't believe it would happen because the risk was unknown. They actually called this thing the monster. And what they thought would happen is when the plane, the jet hit the sound barrier, they thought the plane would disintegrate and no pilot could survive. And so Chuck Yeager, he took the challenge. He decided he was going to do it. So they had a lot of unsuccessful attempts, but they kept going. And then the day before the successful flight, he has a horse accident and breaks a couple of ribs. So when he's actually getting in the X-1, he has to get two sawed-off broomsticks to close the hatch.
Wow.
So he's not in good shape.
Yeah.
And here he is, he's going up. And so another plane, a bigger plane, carries him up 40,000 feet. They tow him up and then let him go. And he starts flying. He starts getting up to six something, I think. The plane's rattling. It's shaking. But he goes ahead and pushes the throttle. He goes ahead. He presses the throttle. And he gets up to 700 miles an hour. And what happened was just spectacular, they said. The observers on the ground heard the explosion, and their hearts all sank. They were like, oh, that was the end of it. They thought it was dead. But what they heard was the sonic boom. Now, you guys who weren't born as far back as us, we would stand out in the street playing a game called Foursquare. Anybody remember Foursquare? Yeah. And we could hear people breaking the sound barrier in their planes. And we'd go, "Dad, somebody broke the sound barrier." And we'd be so excited about it. It was such a new thing in those days. Way back there, children. Anyway, so... But they just thought it was dead. And then they saw the jet.
Yeah.
And of course they had a great celebration. He made it. Yeah. So, but maybe, I don't know if you knew this or not, but that was actually the launch of when America then could go into space. They weren't going into outer space until he broke that sound barrier. But once he broke the sound barrier, that pushed us into a totally different realm to do different things. I hope you're getting the underlying message of this. Amen. He went ahead and took a chance, and he broke through into a new place. So, you know, this is what, listen to what Chuck Yeager said. He said, "The real barrier was not in the sky, but in our knowledge of supersonic flights." The barrier wasn't really in the sky. He said he could push through like, it was like pushing through Jell-O and sitting on the porch drinking some lemonade. He said that's as easy as it was.
Wow.
That's what he said. Wow. That's just amazing to me. So I'm just asking you, what kind of barriers are you facing right now? What are you facing right now? The most difficult barriers can be broken. And they take us to a place where, in God, where we've never seen before. You know, Joshua had that same spirit. He had the faith to lead the people out of the wilderness into the promised land. And an interesting thing about the way God moved when he told them to come in is they had to keep their eyes on the ark, and they could only move 2,000 cubits at a time, a cubit being 18 inches. So about 3,000 feet at a time, they're moving toward the promised land, little by little. Keeping their eye on the presence of God. They're moving little by little, keeping their eye on the presence of God. They're moving little by little, keeping their eyes on the presence of God. But they're moving. Amen. So, my point is, and I think you've already gotten it, is if God told us everything from the beginning, you wouldn't have to live by faith. And you would probably not want to go because, you know, you have to pass through some things to get to where you're going. Because there is someone who opposes us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as I said before, there are three kinds of people. Pioneers, settlers, and museum keepers. Pioneers are continually pressing to the new territory. Settlers stop too soon because they don't care what is beyond the next mountain. We don't care. We like it here. We'll just stay right here. They get comfortable and they never press to the possibilities ahead. This is good enough. I'm comfortable. I'll just do this. I don't even want to press. You know, some of the tribes of Israel did that. Recall that? They stayed on this side of the Jordan. They didn't go over. Remember that? They said, no, we want to stay right here. But the rest of them pressed through and were led on in. Praise the Lord. And then the museum keepers, they're content to just dust off the memories of the previous generations and talk about the exploits of the past. Well, Azusa Street was great. Well, I remember when I had this victory. Well, I remember when this happened. But what about the next thing that's going to happen to you? What about the next good thing that can... What about all the people when you break the barrier that you can pull through?
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Wow, that's good.
Yes. Amen. God's looking for pioneers, church. Mm-hmm. Those who aren't going to settle for less than God's best. Mm-hmm. A pioneer is one who ventures into unclaimed territory. One who opens new areas. One who opens new areas. Mm-hmm. We can open new areas spiritually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're porters. We had that come up in our Monday prayer meeting. Porters and pioneers, that's who we are. We can pioneer a new place and then we can be a doorkeeper. Mm-hmm. We can watch and not let the enemy come in, but we can bring others in. Yes. Amen?
Yeah.
But we have to pioneer to do it. You're sitting in here right now because this was pioneered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, y'all came and I'm sure Pastor John paid y'all while y'all were doing this. No, he didn't. We came all on our own. He backed us up spiritually. But we had to trust God every step of the way. And I'll tell you, we'll have to do that in the next move. Yeah. And the next move. And the next move. We'll have to trust God with whatever it is we do. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all are getting kind of quiet about this pioneer stuff. Let me just ask you a question. Can you name any pioneers? Let's ask it. Who is a pioneer of the auto industry? Henry Ford. How about science?
Einstein.
There you go. So they're coming out. Okay. How about electricity?
Edison
and
Tesla.
Nikola Tesla. Edison came in with the DC. Tesla came in and created the AC. Do you know that? Edison always gets the credit for it. They actually got together. They passed kind of like Van Gogh and Gauguin. they passed in their lives and they actually worked together some. And actually Edison said, if you can figure that out, I'll give you $50,000. And Tesla figured it out, but Edison didn't pay. Tesla ended up outside digging ditches in the streets to make money, but he had these grand ideas, these great ideas, but he ended up doing all right. But he was actually the one that you're sitting here, not just from Franklin, not just from Edison, but there was another person with a breakthrough who brought it on the AC side. Y'all know DC, AC, y'all get that. Okay. So, how about some pioneers that crossed America?
Lewis and Clark.
Who? Did I hear David Crockett? David Crockett. Daniel Boone.
Stephen F. Austin.
Stephen F. Austin came across, yeah. Who?
Sam Houston
did, yeah. That's right. Amen. Kit Carson. I actually put him in my notes. Yeah, that's right. So they claimed a lot of beautiful territory. And there was Santa Fe Trail, Oregon Trail, California Trail. So what did the pioneers do though? They were looking for something better. They were looking to move ahead. There's gold in them there hills.
Yeah.
They're looking for something better. They're moving through. But what we know about them is that they had to cross rough places, rugged places. And what they had to do is they had to leave some stuff behind sometimes to get through some places.
True.
Yeah, they did. Sometimes they had to leave some stuff behind, and they had to forge ahead, drop some stuff off, and keep forging ahead. I've seen movies where they had to take Mama's piano out of the back and leave it sitting on the prairie. And you're like, oh, how sad. But they can get another one when they get there. Amen. Anyway, that's how I think. But here's the thing about them. They always had an expectation of what was ahead. What can we do now? What can we do now with God? Where can we go now with God? What are the possibilities? How much better could life get? Not just for us, but for the people around us. How much better could life get? How much better could life get? If I took my place as being the problems, most of the years that we've ministered here in 20 years, there's been 20 to 23,000 people that we've ministered to every year. You're like, well, it doesn't look like it in here, but we just didn't minister here. The prison had a whole lot of people. We went out and did stuff, and our traveling ministry did. There's just a lot more going on, but 23,000 people is pretty good for this group. And when you add it all together over 20 years, plus if you could see the long list of giving that we've done, and that's another group of people. So just the pioneering of just one small ministry that seems small to most people has ministered to hundreds and thousands of people. So we could just, if we could just move forward, what will we do next?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. They always had the expectation of what was ahead. Mm-hmm. Where could we go if we let the Lord lead us to the next place spiritually and physically?
Yeah.
Where could we go? Where could we actually go? It takes faith to forsake, and it takes faith to follow. And this is why God said this, Isaiah 43:18. You'll recognize this, Deb. This is one of our scriptures when we began to move. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, we're pioneers who keep moving, and we keep expecting miracles. We're not going to quit on that. We're going to break the barrier. We run at it, but we're going to break it in a bigger way.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes to get over the next mountain, you have to lay down those treasures, like I said. And you may have to lay down some traditional things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did it this way. Back over here in the church of the blah, da. Amen. Sister Ledbetter did it like this. Pastor John had funny. Brother Smell Fungus. Remember, Pastor John?
Sister Dry Dust.
Sister Dry Dust, yeah. Pastor John stuff. But by faith, Moses forsook Egypt. He's raised there. He probably had a pretty good life. He's a prince. But by faith, he went on. Abraham went on. Joshua went on. What about Peter, James, and John? They left their boats sitting there. They left their business sitting in the water and follow Jesus.
Wow.
I love what one of the kids said in the Asbury meeting. He had driven to come there when, you know, they've now shut it down to just the people who are there. They can't, the town's overwhelmed. So they're having to get people out of the town. But this kid got in there and he just started hollering, "Forget about the girlfriend. Forget about the business. Forget about it." And he said, "Just Jesus." Nothing wrong with the business and the girlfriend and all, but the point was the heart of the matter. The heart. Look at what we could have. Look where we could go.
Yeah.
Forget about the pride. Forget about what someone else thinks about you. Forget about how tired you are. Forget about how you feel. And get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your voice. Deb's quoting it for me. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Now, that's what we have to do. We have to encourage ourselves and get ready to break these barriers. And we're absolutely going to do it. Amen. It takes faith to forget the past. I lived in San Marcos, Texas for 40 years. Y'all didn't know I was 40, but reminds me of stories. Anyway, you have to move forward sometimes. You have to go. I know I lived halfway between San Marcos and Lockhart. So we're all from Lockhart, a lot of us here. But we had to move forward to do God's will. You know, there's an old prophecy out there. I don't even know who did it. But the old prophecy said there are two roads that lie ahead. One road goes out. It's straight. It's clear. It's wonderful. You can see what lies ahead and it's really nice. And if you take that road, the blessing of the Lord is on it. The blessing of the Lord will be on it. You can take it. You can see the blessing in a particular measure in your life. Amen. However, there's another road. And it goes a different direction. It goes up a high mountain and it winds around and you can't see what's around the bend. And the mountain looks rough. It looks rugged. And you might say, I don't want to take that road, but that's exactly the road that you should take. It's the glory road. And so there's sacrifice. There's much more of a challenge to take this road. When you get to the top though, you're going to see on the other side and you're going to be glad you chose this road. Much richer, much more glory, much better. The glory of God's going to be seen by those who choose this road. Right now, I'm talking about going up spiritually. I'm talking about taking the road spiritually. I'm talking about taking this road in the presence of God to take our praise, our worship to a higher level, our prayer to a higher level so that we're constantly in the presence of God, constantly sensing His unctions, His way, what He's doing. I just feel the Lord right now. We'll just follow this. We'll just go ahead. It may be a little bit more of a struggle. And some of the folks in town may say, I think they're kind of just, you know, they're those ones rolling around and stuff or whatever they're going to say about us. We're going to have to forsake what people think about us and move and flow in the presence of the power of God and break that barrier so the people around town will find out that we're right and it's real.
Amen. Yeah.
We got what they want.
Yeah. Preach it, girl. She says, we got what they want. And I'm not saying some of the other churches, they with us. They're doing the same thing. It's not just us. But I'm just telling you, this is where we're going to go. Praying on a higher level. Praising on a higher level. Worshiping on a higher level. That's the road we should take. And what it takes to get there, church, we can make this real easy. Faith. Put your faith on the fact that we're going into a miracle realm that will never stop. Put your faith there. We're taking this road. We're going on this road. And we're going to see miracle after miracle. And the law of draw is going to be like a vortex with us. And we're going to help people come into the things that they've been waiting to come into in the spirit realm with God, the change in their lives, to know the presence of God.
Amen.
I don't know, I just felt like maybe someone was saying, well, why don't we care if we feel the presence of God? Obviously, you've never felt it if you're thinking that. Because there's no high like the Most High.
That's right.
Glory to God.
What a glorious, just, you know, I have the pleasure of preaching all the time. And so I always, you know, the anointing's there. And just in that trickle, that flow, shouldn't say trickle, in that flow, it's the best part of life for me. Just hearing His voice, just sensing His little sugar sweet touch that He did, just His presence coming in. If you don't feel that, it's time to break the barrier. Time to break the barrier. It's time to not just hear this mentally. It's time to let the Holy Spirit reveal this to you.
Yeah.
The most important thing or person in your life is Holy Spirit.
True.
Well, Pastor, you know, I believe it's the Word of God. He wrote the Word.
Yeah.
You can't even understand it without Him.
Right.
You're going to go home with a law and a King James. Yeah. Oh, thou, oh God, thy thee art. Not you, Art. And not even know what's going on. But Holy Spirit will talk to you like, hey,
yes.
Let me show you what this means.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not have another God before thee. But if you heard Holy Spirit, He'd say, hey, you don't need any other gods. I'm everything you want.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. He's saying, hey, I'll give you the best wife ever. It's just the wording. Holy Spirit will pull you through that.
Amen.
Take you to the other side of that. You'll break a King James barrier, glory to God.
Amen.
That was free. There's some sacrifice to it because you'll have to tell your flesh. Yeah, you're going to worship. You're going to study. You're going to do this. You're going to listen to God. You're going to take a moment. Go for a walk. You're going to talk to God. You're going to get in your prayer closet. You're going to pray. You're going to sing hallelujah when sometimes you'd rather say, oh, hell. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd rather fuss and complain than just go ahead and praise God. But if you praise God, you're already in barrier breaking place.
Right.
If you just live in depression, you're having an inward temper tantrum because you don't like what's going on, when you could start praising the Lord and leave that stuff behind, and then things would start happening for you.
There you go.
I'm going to say that till everybody does it.
Amen.
It takes the spirit of faith to take the glory road. And just to mention here, one thing that helps along the journey is to realize that whenever you believe God, you cheer up.
Oh, boy, yeah.
If you really believe God, you cheer up. So, Dwayne, where we're going to lunch today, if he says we're going down to the Italian place, I'm going to cheer up. I like that place. We eat there all the time together. I like the food there. They have really good, the vegetables are so, yeah, anyway, praise the Lord. So, but, I know I believed him.
Yeah.
I believed him. Mm-hmm. If I said, Deb, I left my purse at home, and so give me $20. I know she's going to give it to me. I believe her. I believe she'll give it to me. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Or I'm stuck. John... I know he'll come. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when I believe him, when I believe them, I can cheer up.
Yep.
If I'm on the side of the road, I can just cheer up. Because John's coming. If I don't understand something, Danny's coming. I can cheer up.
Yes.
Danny, what does this mean right here? That's okay. Praise the Lord. Are y'all with me? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you believe God? Because if you believe God, you can cheer up. The Apostle Paul, sitting and standing in stench, waist deep in the prison, wrote the epistles, and 16 times he declared joy or rejoicing in 4 chapters.
Wow.
And we're sitting here complaining. We can cheer up. He was cheering up because he knew. He knew he had a destiny. He knew he could not stay there. He was told he was going to go before Caesar. He knew it. So I'm just going to tell you right now, you can cheer up because I'll tell you where we're going. We're going up the glory mountain.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
And everything you want is there.
Glory.
It's kind of like that Candy Mountain that guy used to sing about. I can't remember all the words to it. You know that big chunky guy. What is it? Big Rock Candy Mountain. I'm kidding. Unique journeys, though. In all of this, he had unique journeys. He kept going, even when it looked like... I mean, he's out there on a ship, and it's gonna go, hey, guys, this, you know, we'll be all... You know, he's of good cheer. He's making it. You know, if you're just finding it hard to rejoice, I'm gonna tell you the answer to that. If you're just like, oh, let me just tell you the answer. Check your faith. You're not believing God. If you believe God, you get happy. You might as well just get happy because God has given you a good end.
Amen.
He's promised an inheritance. If he said, move up here, he's promised that inheritance. If he said, worship me, then he's promised that you're going to get to a place where you are hosting the presence of God in a way that removes burdens, destroys yokes, changes people's lives.
Glory to God.
Not to mention, you get really good on the way. Have y'all ever watched the documentaries on people that climb Mount Everest?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at a little one just shortly recently. So the first man that ever climbed, there were two people that climbed it, and they climbed it in 1953. Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. And since they climbed it, 700 people have made it to the top of Mount Everest. But here's something you may not realize. You can't climb from the bottom to the top in one setting. Even if you had a long day, you couldn't do it because your body can't do it. So what you have to do is you have to climb high to a certain camp. And you have to sometimes spend 3 weeks at that one camp until your blood cells double in order to hold enough oxygen so that you can breathe to go up higher. He that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yeah.
Stop trying to go all the way to the top.
Yeah.
On the first round. Go up to a certain place. Conquer that thing. Let the blood cells multiply.
That's good.
And then take your faith to the next level.
Yeah, that's so good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Can't immediately go to the top. That's just the kind of mountain climbing that must be in your blood to keep you alive. Listen, there's some blessings of God that you just can't receive at sea level. There's some things that you haven't even tapped into that are going to come up surprising you pretty soon. They are. They're coming. They're coming as we climb higher. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming in the natural world. They're coming in the financial world. They're coming in your physical body, and they're coming in the glory cloud. They're coming. You're going to reach them. But you're going to have, well, why don't we have, where's the Shekinah go? Why isn't, just start getting up to that next level so your blood cells can multiply here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
Get up to where you can handle some things.
Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot to deal with the anointing on your life. Mm-hmm. For one thing, you don't merchandise it.
Right.
Another thing is you don't act like you're the man or woman of the hour with all of God's goodness and power. It's something to care for. You protect the anointing on your life. You protect your prayer life. You protect the prophetic on your life. You protect God's presence.
Mm. Amen.
That was just a side note, but I think it's important. So we're going to go from the lower camps to the higher camps. Amen.
Amen.
You have to move. You must move up higher in God's presence. That's what we want to do. And we have to make adjustments to the altitude that we're going to. It's just the truth. And God gives you the challenge If you want to go higher, and I'm going to read you the scripture. This is Psalm 24:3. It says, who will ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, pure heart, clean hands, staying away from being vain. Mm-hmm. Takes a little practice in that. Well, it looks like when I prayed, that person got healed. Three people before prayed, but when I did it, we prayed and this happened. No, Jesus did it. He gets the glory.
That's right.
So you learn to move away from these vain things.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, our pastor taught me everything she knows, but now I know more. They're going to get you in trouble.
That's right.
Yeah. Quiet in the church. The precious blood of Jesus, church, the precious blood of Jesus is applied for cleansing. It'll double your red blood cells. Let's just say it like that. The blood of Jesus will do that for you. It's going to carry the oxygen you need to go to the next level spiritually.
Yeah.
We've got this. We've got this. We can move forward. We can start looking on the horizon and saying, what's out there for us? What's out there for you individually? Certainly the glory, and certainly your ministry being promoted, but what else?
Yeah.
Business ideas. Ideas. The thing about this church is it's not a couch situation.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get up and go out of the house and go do something if you're going to do something financially.
True.
It's not going to come knocking on your door and say, here, we got this basket of $1 million. You're going to have to get up and go, where am I supposed to have my assignment? Because people are, it'll always be that people are connected to your favor and your finances, always.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can work that hard anymore. It's not about working hard.
Right.
It's about working the plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that We're going to get so high in the spirit realm, we're going to get face-to-face with God. Just face-to-face with God. True hunger in every heart of the believer in this church. We're going to be hungry to experience His presence. Because that's where the joy is. That's where the change is. That's where you feel like you can get up and do something. You know my stories. I always go back to Brother Copeland and Gloria. They were told to go on daily TV, and that was like the worst thing he could have heard. He did not want to do that. I am definitely a chip off the old block on these kind of things. But you do what God calls you to do. And so they began to pray about it and be willing and pray about it. We always say it like this. Well, when we get to Denny's, we'll know. Because when they got to Denny's, they were sitting there, and they looked at each other and said, you know, we can do this. We can do it. We can do it. Let's do it. We can do it. We can get that house.
Yes. Yep, that's right.
We can get that.
Yeah.
We can break this barrier.
Amen.
I can move on. I can do this.
Yep.
Yeah. I can change my life because God's doing it.
Right.
You get to this place where you're going, yeah, we got it. I know we can do it.
Yeah.
That happened to us when we moved here.
Yeah.
Like the people going, please come, please come. We need a church like this. Please come. And we were like, oh, okay. And then one day we said, we can do it.
Yeah.
We did it. And I can tell you 1,000 other things. That house was way more, not the one we live in now. It's way, way, way more. The house we were looking at when we moved out by you, the house we lived in before was the house I was raised in. And we're renting it from the man who we sold it to. And it's little.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to move into this big house. And we just said, you know what, we can do this. And God provided. 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 Uh-huh. All the way up till now.
Yep.
He will do it.
He will.
Well, you know, Pastor, things are too expensive around here, so I can't do it. Don't tell me that. Start looking at the dream.
Yeah.
Just look at the dream. Don't try to top Mount Everest. Go to 30,000 feet or wherever and get your blood to multiply, to double up, and then go up and then go up. Mm-hmm. Church, we move 11 times since we've been here. Okay? We moved 11 times in 20 years. Huh? About to be 12? Oh, my house. Yeah, I'm like, do not. Are you prophesying? She said, yeah, I'll live in your house for you. What? The point is every time it got better, it was always getting better. There's a couple times Deb and I actually took less so we could give more. We said, we're going to live here so that we can give more. We did that a couple of times. But God did it. He did it. He added the extra part onto your house.
Yep. Yep.
He's moving John and Rachel into a house where every child has a bedroom. Can you imagine at 9 o'clock at night? Good night, Mama. Good night. Good night, John Boy. Good night. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night. Good night, Jim Bob. And then that music will play at the end with that harmonica. And the lights will go down. The mountain of the Lord is a higher calling than Mount Everest. It's a higher calling. The true hunger in every heart of every believer here is going to experience God's presence in a brand new way. It's time, church, for all of us to move up higher. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence. There will be times when we may preach for 5 minutes and worship the rest of the time. Just get used to it, because God needs to move the way He wants to move. And let me tell you this. God wants to move for you personally.
That's right.
He wants to move for you personally. I think this would be okay with John and Rachel. The house that John and Rachel are moving into, the listing on that property is like three times the value of my house. And yet God moved them into it. Glory to God. I always say possession is 9/10 of the law. Once you move in, who knows what God can do? Who knows what hearts God can change? The way we got the property next door to our place is because the man loved us and he sold it to us for really a very nice price. Amen. We had favor on this. Expect favor, David. Expect favor. Expect favor. Expect some favor, MJ. Well, and if you're sitting here and you're going, well, you know, I'm totally happy. Well, think about other people.
Yeah.
What could you do that would actually break a barrier that would cause someone else to have a better life?
Yeah.
Is go to work on it right away thinking about it. Well, now how could we do this? Now how could we get that? I mean, that's kind of the way I think anyway. John was saying something about something on the house, and immediately my mind, oh, the fencing. Immediately here I start working on it. I'm mentally working on it. Well, if you learn the rest. Okay, now how can the kennel, you know, that's the way we think about each other. Amen. Covenant relationships. Y'all receive this tonight? We're going higher. We're going higher in the spirit. The key is to let God light your candle. Let God light it. Let the Word of God light your candle until you're such a junkie that you get one scripture and it lights you up, that you're happy all day long, all night long, can preach a good word to anybody because you're so excited about what God will do in your lives.
Amen.
He'll do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Take a chance. Take a chance and if you don't have a prayer language, take a chance and just raise your hands and just start praying in the Spirit and watch God do it. If you're don't have the kind of income you have, take a chance and start quoting what you want. Some people start tithing what they want.
Yeah.
I've heard of that too. They're gonna tithe, you know, let's say they want $200,000 a year. They would tithe according to that. That's what Hank and Trina, who are they? What's his?
Yeah, Mark Hankins.
Yeah, got his name wrong there. Not Hank and Brenda. Mark Hankins. He did that in his life. And it's going to follow you. It's going to follow you. It's going to follow you. If you make the breakthrough, then the vortex will suck everything through with you. People will start running through with you. They'll start come through with you. Well, you know, I've seen people run through and their families didn't follow them. Well, no, you're not supposed to look at what others saw. What do you see coming behind you? What do you see? Who's coming in behind you? What are the workers doing on your property? Are they coming in behind you? Or is it the guys on your teams, do you see them coming into the things of God? Or like, well, they probably never will, but I am. No, we see them coming in. We see them coming in. Are the schoolmates going to come in? Does everybody at Early Bird Gets the Perm come on in when you go in there and get your hair cut? We're going to a higher level. In the presence of God. Blind eyes are going to see. Deaf ears are going to heal. Finances are going to rise up. It's not based on what the guy who's sitting in the White House is doing. It's based on this awakening to God. We're going to see it through. And we're going to see windfall after windfall after windfall after windfall after windfall after windfall of all these good things. If you can just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start pressing. Mm-hmm. Brother Copeland said, I'll close with this, and we're 5 minutes early, and you know the kids are really always later. So, Brother Copeland said, when he went in, he said, Gloria, I'm supposed to preach. Oh, I know it. So what did he do? He got up the next day and put his suit on. In those days, all the preachers wore suits. He still does. Gloria makes him. Anyway. She does. He said so. But he got ready for it. Get ready for it. Just 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 get up, get ready, and get ready to go. Somebody's going to call in a minute.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go down to the gas station, and they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Or maybe in the produce section or somewhere. So go looking for it.
Yeah.
Put your eyes on it. See it.
Yeah.
Sit around and cry about it or sit around in the house.
Boom.
The Atari game is not going to produce it. Or what? I don't even know. What are the games? What do they call them? PlayStation.
Sorry. That's way back.
It's what?
It's age.
It's age. Okay. Okay. So Tetris is not going to do it. Pac-Man is.
That's really.
Here's the truth, though. You spend enough time seeking God and breaking through barriers, you don't have to play with the PlayStation. You know what I'm going to say? You can play with the Quest too. Y'all know what that is? Virtual games. That's a whole lot more fun. It's a whole lot more money. But it is cool, isn't it? Amen. Nothing wrong with playing games. But at some point, you're going to have to get up and go out the door. You're going to have to get up and pray. You're going to have to get up and open the Bible. You're going to have to get up and praise the Lord. So get up.